And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as you are going, learn what this is. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Learn it, understand it, live according to it. Now, in terms of gospel readings, this brief account of Matthew's call and what followed is pretty clear. We know from Luke that it is Matthew's house where Jesus reclined at table with tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees, ever so strict in their efforts to maintain purity and the proper distinction between who's in and who's out with God, they are scandalized. For in the ancient world, who you ate with at table indicated who you considered to be part of your social circle, who you claimed to have a common life with. Hence, Jesus reclining at table with tax collectors and sinners was showing that he considered them his people, that he was willing to be counted among them and share their life. And the Pharisees just couldn't see that. If you purport to be a teacher of God's way, then you can't have anything to do with publicly known sinners. On the other hand, if you claim to have a common life with those who are known to be on God's wrong side, you can't be a teacher of God's way. You have to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. So to the Pharisees, Jesus had to make up his mind. What was it going to be? Would Jesus properly live as a teacher of God's way, or would he continue to spend his time with sinners? For the Pharisees, it was impossible to do both. Now, because we have been taught the gospel, we know better. We appreciate the irony of Jesus telling the Pharisees that he wasn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. For there are no righteous. As Isaiah was inspired to proclaim, all our so-called righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in God's sight and according to the measure of his righteousness. All sin, all fall short of the glory of God, all stand condemned under the law, and so Jesus calls all, even the Pharisees. The only problem is that those who think themselves righteous because of how well they think they walk the walk don't hear Jesus. They don't think they need him. They don't want him. And all that business about dying to oneself in order to receive a new life based upon what Jesus has done seems a bit over the top. And yet God's word stands. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So let me back up a bit here. There's all sorts of stuff that can be said about Matthew and tax collectors and publicly identified sinners at the time of Jesus' ministry to Galilee, and that makes for a great Bible study, but it isn't really needed for a sermon. What is needed is just this. At that time and place, by the Pharisees' standards, righteous, good, religious folk were to have nothing to do with unrighteous, bad, irreligious folk. They were excluded from the service of the synagogue. They were not invited to meals. The fear was that because they were religiously defiled, contact with them would defile the righteous. But Jesus didn't care. He sat and ate with sinners because that was what he was come for. He has come to share a common life with us sinners, to redeem us. We need a physician. We need a savior. And so he calls to us, because God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Now, I should add that the grammar of the Hebrew in Hosea, that's the verse that Jesus was quoting, the grammar does not mean that God was setting aside the sacrificial regulations of the law and saying that mercy was all that really mattered. A better rendering of it might be, I desire mercy more than sacrifice, but don't neglect that. That is, do what is right and proper, but don't let your attention to that get in the way of showing love and mercy. For at the end of the day, it is God's will to gather all back into his household, not to come up with reasons to exclude or dismiss folks. For what does Jesus do? He takes on our flesh and blood, and he, the holy and righteous one, comes to recline at table with us, not to condone our sin, but to bring us to himself so that he can cover us and forgive us and feed us and give us new life. And the life we're given is a life of mercy. And Matthew got that, at least when he was first called to follow Jesus and leave everything behind. Note, Matthew didn't protest when he got called. He didn't say, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy, or I'm not the kind of guy that's going to help your reputation. Besides, I've got stuff to do here. No, Matthew didn't protest. He simply followed. And that evening, he gave a dinner for Jesus. For in the custom of the time, when you received a great gift, you honored the gift giver with a meal. And who did Matthew invite? Other sinners like himself. They were his associates, his colleagues, perhaps even his friends. They were the people he shared a common life with, since the good religious folk would have nothing to do with them. Matthew didn't think to himself, oh wait, now that I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm too good for those folks. Time for me to clean up my act and get better friends. No, Matthew wanted his people to meet Jesus too, to get to know Jesus, to know his mercy, his grace. Matthew invited them to come and be where Jesus was because I desire mercy, says the Lord. And the question then comes to us, where do we stand in all this? Now, we're Lutherans, and so we know how we're supposed to answer. We're supposed to say, oh, we're the sinners and the tax collectors here, the sick who need a physician. We're the sinners Jesus calls. And of course, that is right. But the more dangerous question is this. Having received mercy and been given a new life, forgiven and justified in God's sight, folks who are privileged to worship in Christ's church and receive his grace and feed on him at this altar, given all that, do we join Matthew in welcoming other sinners to the table, or do we struggle with our own inner Pharisees? There are too many stories out there. Many of you know them. Some of you may have even experienced them in one place or another. But there are stories about professed Christians and even whole congregations, and some of them even Lutheran and LCMS, that are scandalized that Jesus eats with sinners. They fall into the deceit of the flesh and use the law to judge and to exclude and to dismiss. Does that person volunteer enough? Does this person show enough reverence? Does that other person behave the way they should? And we can go on to know folks who maybe live together apart from marriage, or who like intoxication a little too much, or during this Pride Month, we know only too well that broad portions of our culture have accepted that which we are not created for. And rather than looking at those folks as people who Jesus came for and calls to and wants in his household, we can fall into the pharisaical desire to judge and to exclude and to dismiss. Now, don't get me wrong. We are not called to ignore or to condone sin. But God desires mercy, not sacrifice. And we sometimes forget Matthew's joy to be able to share what he received and invite other sinners, like himself, to come and know Jesus' grace. Let me end with this observation. I came across a quote from an Orthodox priest this week. He said, if a man doesn't work on himself, meaning if we don't examine our own sins and rebuke them and strive after Christ, then the devil will find another job for him, to seek flaws in others. Let's not do that. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, says Yahweh. Having received mercy, let us live in it and share it. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.